Father, we stop for a moment and we just want to say thank you for the ways in which you continue to meet us and direct us. And this morning, we open ourselves up to receive all that you have for us. We don't know what that's going to look like or what that's going to be in these next few moments, but we open ourselves up to receive your goodness and your grace. And we are grateful that you are a God who has come down and lived among us, that you dwell among us, that you're with us in all things, in all of our pains, in all of our failures, and in all of our struggles and in our joys. You are a God who's with us, and we are grateful to you for that. And we say grace and peace, and we receive that this morning. Amen. Well, good. If you failed this week, you messed up. You missed the mark. Can I just say this? Welcome. You're in a good place this morning. And if you pulled it off this week, we rejoice with you. Good job. Well done. We're happy for you. We're on this journey. We're going through a letter written to a group of Christians who were on a journey of what it looked like in their context to walk with Jesus. What does it look like when we live out the practices and the teachings of Jesus communally? And Paul, their pastor, is writing a personal letter to this group of Christians. But Paul, however, is in chains. He's in prison. Things aren't going well for Paul, but he doesn't allow his circumstances to dictate how he feels towards his people. So he's expressing deep feelings. So it's an interesting thing when you read a letter that was written thousands of years ago, you're getting a very personal insight into the feelings of one person directed towards another. And so when we read through a letter, we're getting kind of these personal feelings that Paul is expressing and feeling towards his people. There's a sense of friendship and connection that we hear in the letter. And so we're going through it slowly. We're taking our time to process it. And we're up to verse 9. This is our fourth week in the book of Philippians in this letter. And we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 11. So I want you to open up your scriptures to the book of Philippians. Open up your phones to the book of Philippians. And I would encourage you each week to have it in front of you as we move through it, because I'd like to be able to refer back to it and pull things that we've talked about in the past into this moment right now. So I think it's really important, however that works best for you, to have it in front of you, to have your notes out. If you want to bring a journal, if you want to bring a notebook, I don't know the best way how you learn and process information, but whatever works for you, do that. Please, you're invited. If you need to doodle and draw, and that helps you keep your attention, then doodle and draw. It's totally okay. Doodle and draw Sunday. That's fine too. So let's begin in verse 9. If you would look at that with me and I'll read it out loud. Paul says, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God." So again, we're looking deep into the prayer and to the heart of a pastor to his people. Now for me, when I think about prayer, and I think in terms of how do we go about praying, very simply, when I think about prayer for myself, prayer is like, it's like this opening up of myself. So when I pray, I begin with the understanding that what I'm doing is I'm opening myself up to give and pour out to God, but also to receive something from God. So when I think about you, Edgewater, and I pray, I begin by opening up my heart, my life, my insides, going, God, I want to reveal things about me to you and about my friends at Edgewater, and I want you to hear my heart. So I know and I understand that when I'm praying, I'm learning how to become more and more aware of all the ways in which God is speaking and moving and interacting with myself and with us and all that's going on around me. So I'm opening myself up. And I want you to notice how in the letter, Paul begins with these big, like, universal truths about how the universe works. He talks about the power of creation unleashed in us, and we've explored that a couple of weeks ago. And then it's like he moves seamlessly into prayer. Like there's not this difference. There's not this methodical approach to prayer. It's this seamless, like, I'm feeling this way about you, I'm expressing myself to you, and then he moves right into prayer. And my prayer for you and my hope for you, the things that I want for you, is that your love that you're experiencing in this place, that it would grow, that it would expand, that it would become more. He wants it to abound, is what the NIV says. So what we're going to do is we're going to explore the prayer this morning, because there's lots of stuff behind the words that we read on the page, and I want to get to the stuff that's behind it and that's undergirding it. The first word that we're going to explore there is that word abound, and it comes from the Greek word parisos, and I wrote that down in your notes. We're going to look at three Greek words this morning. I don't expect you to remember them. That's why I wrote them down, so that you could process them and work through them in your small groups or in your own individual journey this week. But parisos is the word that begins. He says, I pray that the love of God would parisos. Now that word parisos means going over and above, means to expand, to become even more remarkable and more excellent. It's a big word. So Paul takes parisos, this big word, and he attaches it to love. Now the word love there is agape love. Does anyone know what agape love means? No. What is agape love? Unconditional, yes. And who is the source of agape love? God, right. So the source of love, God, is agape love. So the kind of love that Paul is talking about here is not just, oh, I feel good feelings about you. It's not romantic feelings. It's not a brotherly love. It's a God love. So it's like super deep. This is like, we're swimming in the deep end right now. This is the big stuff. Selfless, self-giving, compassionate, affectionate. It's really the deep kind of, not a self-centered, what am I getting out of it, but what can I give? What can I pour out? So Paul, he says, I see this kind of love happening in the community, and what I want, what I desire in my prayer is that that love would grow and expand, that you would have more of that. So that which you're already experiencing, I want to see more and more and more and more of that. It's like, how do you ask for more of something that's already all that? It's like, it's already full and complete, and you want more of that? Yes, because by its very nature, this kind of love expands and grows. It can't be contained. It's always moving and pushing out and getting bigger. It's more vast. It's more excellent. So Paul begins by saying, may the love, this kind of love, may it parisos, may it expand, may it become even more remarkable in your life and in your community. May it become even more excellent, like Bill and Ted would say, right? That it would be most excellent, that we would experience this kind of deep parisos in and through one another. Now, I think what Paul is experiencing is he's seen some beautiful dynamics happening in the relationships between brothers and sisters in the city of Philippi. He's identified the good things that are going on, and what I love about Paul is he's taking these good things that he sees in people and he's calling for more of that. He's identifying, this is where I see God working in this community and I want to see more of that. Calling out the good things. This is where I see God acting and feeling. This is where I see it happening and I want more of that to increase in your community. I see it happening everywhere and I want to see more of it. So when it comes to this agape love, we understand that there's no limit to this agape love. It's not like we run out. It's always over and beyond. It expands. It's expansive. It's always growing and evolving. So that is my prayer for us at Edgewater. As I think about you and pray for you each week as God brings you to my mind and to my heart, as I see glimpses of this kind of love happening here, and I want to see more of it. So when I see it, I want to acknowledge it, I want to draw it out, and then I want to see more of it, and I want to see more of it happening in your life. So when we're sitting down during the week, and we're processing things together, and we're working on one another, and we're helping each other to grow, when I see God moving and working in you, I want to call that stuff out, I want to identify it, and then I want to bring more of that stuff out in your life. That is my hope and my prayer for us at Edgewater. Because I believe that everything that you already need, that everything you need is already there. It's all there. It's all there. All the stuff that we need, the love, the acceptance, the grace of God, It's already there. All we have to do is open ourselves up to receive it. Just got to open ourselves up. That's why I think prayer is just this opening to, okay, God, I want more of this. I want more of your love and your grace in my life, because there are no limits. It's expansive. It grows. It's all there. I pray that that love would grow on the inside and the outside, that it would expand in my life and out of my life and out of this community. So Paul begins by asking for more of that which is already true. And he wants more and more and more of it. Then he takes it even deeper. He says, I pray that your love, the God kind of love that I see happening in you, would perisos, that it would expand, that it would grow, that it would become even more remarkable, and that you would also increase in knowledge. Now, knowledge, interesting word. We're going to explore that for a moment. It raises a question for me. Knowledge about what? Because lots of people have knowledge about the Bible, knowledge about God, knowledge about love, knowledge about all these big truths that we read about in the scriptures, but it stops there. It's like we have all this information, lots of dissemination of information, tons of it. The church is full of information. And what I see happening in the church is that I see a lot of moral reformation going on, where people are acting right, behaving right. But what I don't see enough of, and what I want more of, is this gospel transformation, where there's something else going on that transcends just morality and making sure we've got all our ducks in a row, but that we're experiencing something even deeper. That it's not just knowledge to gain more information, or as we've said before, it's not just knowledge about something, but it's knowing something. That's what I think is at the heart of the prayer. Paul's like, I don't want you to know about more stuff. I don't want you to just know about the resurrection or to know about these biblical truths. I want you to know them. And there's a difference between knowing about and knowing. There's a difference between seeing and seeing. You feeling me? Right? There's a difference when we actually experience something at a different level. Now, this word that Paul uses comes from the Greek word epigenosis. Epigenosis is a fun thing to say. It's a fun word to rhyme inside your mind. Epigenosis. I pray that your perisos would grow, and I pray that your epigenosis would grow, and that you would increase in epigenosis. Now, what in the heck is Paul talking about when he uses this word, epigenosis? So let me share a little story with you. I grew up the son of a pastor. Now, it's a miracle that I'm still in the church today. As you know, many pastors' kids are a little bit bent sideways in their head. We see behind the iron curtain many times, and we get the good, the bad, and the ugly, unfortunately, in church. So we see it all, and it spills into our home. It comes into our house, and you're like, what is going on? What does this mean to be the son of a pastor? So I grew up around a pastor. And because my dad was a senior pastor, I knew lots of people who were senior pastors. They would find their way into my house. They just would spill in. So I've been around a lot of senior pastors. I've worked closely with several senior pastors. A guy named Gordon Kirk down in Pasadena, California. I worked with a man named Michael Venning. Michael Venning was actually the pastor of President Reagan, which was kind of sweet. And really tender, dear man. And then I worked for years with a pastor named Ron Short, who's a covenant pastor over in El Dorado Hills, California. And then I thought, I'm around senior pastors a lot. And I kept thinking to myself, I think I know how to senior pastor better than these nut jobs do. That's the stuff that goes on in your mind when you're young and you're cocky. And I thought to myself, I think I could do that job pretty well. So I would watch them. I would see where they were missing it. I would think to myself, they're not getting it right. Wait until it's my turn. Wait until I get to drive the bus. This bus is going to go somewhere. So in 2001, I got the keys, and I got to drive the bus. And I put on the hat, and I put on the pants, and I put on my big boy shoes, and I was a senior pastor. And man, was it hard. It was really, really hard. I remember somebody telling me, you are the worst senior pastor that I've ever met. I know, we laugh at that now. It didn't feel great at the time. But, you know, I look back at it and I think, well, at least it's good to be good at something. It's good to be the best at being the worst. And so that was an interesting expression. So as I stepped into that role, I'm like, oh. Now when I meet senior pastors, we give each other this glance like, yep, I feel you, bro. There's a level of understanding that I now know that I didn't know before. A weight that comes with it. It's like, oh, Dad, really sorry. Pastor Ron, really sorry. I had to go back to my senior pastor and apologize to him for the ways in which I corrected him at times, because it was coming from another place inside of me where I was wrong. And it was interesting to step back. Now when I see senior pastors, I'm kind of like, you know, on Monday, when you wake up, we have this thing called pastor's hangover. And what I mean by that is you wake up and you go, did I say that? Yes, you said that. Unbelievable. I can't believe I said that. And I still have my job. So we go through this mode of understanding something. I'm around it. I'm close to it. I see it. I observe it. And then I put on the shoes. And now I understand it. Now I know it. Now I know. I used to know about it. But now I know it. So I want the love of God to move from just a conceptual thing, yeah, I got some information about the love of God and the grace of God. I know that it grows and it expands, but do you know it? Have you opened yourself up to it? Understanding that there are no limits to it. It's not like, I get it. I understand the love of God. Do you really? Whoa. How could you, hey, what's up? How could you possibly understand the full brevity of it? And I think, I hope that I never, never fully understand it, because I want to continue to search for it and reach for it. Even on the other side, I hope that I don't fully understand, because man, I want to continue to grow and search and process. I want more. I think that that ties into something inside. I want more. I want to know. I want to pursue. I want to go after it. I want to gain. I want to understand, because the nature of love is that it's limitless. It continues to grow. It continues to expand. It continues to push us out. It continues more and more and more. And that's the heart of this message. So we've got lots of people in the church who have biblical knowledge, biblical understanding. I know lots of people who have read through the Bible, but my gosh, they're just nasty people. They know all this information, but my goodness, you get around them and you think, is that information going in? Is it transforming you? What's going on inside of you? How come it's not enlivening you and growing you and expanding you? And it seems like what I see very often is a regression that happens in people, where they get smaller and smaller, and that love by nature has to grow and expand. Well, what's going on? What's causing that? That's the stuff that I want to get to. What's keeping you from growing and expanding? What's happening inside of your heart, in your life? That's what I want to get to. How do we get to that? That's keeping you from growing and expanding and becoming the person that God created you to be. And there could be a myriad of reasons as to the why and to the what. And there could be a myriad of reasons of what's keeping you from growing. It's like, well, open yourself up and let's explore that. Let's see what's going on inside of you. Do you see it pouring out of your life? Do you see it increasing? Is your thinking, acting, and feeling, your emotions, is it all shaped by this agape love? Is it becoming this stuff that God's intended for you to become in your life? If not, what's keeping that from happening? And let's explore that. My drive, one of the big reasons why I get out of bed in the morning, is because I want to help people discover that. That's my drive. That's what gets me going. That's what revs up my chain. This is what I get up for in the morning, is to help people understand that there is something that's there inside of you, and I want you to become aware of that and open yourself up to it. May that love that already exists inside of you, may it peresos, and may you epigenosis. Right? You feeling me? Okay. And may you receive that and overflow in your life, and may you be filled with more and more knowledge, not just knowledge for the sake of knowledge, but more understanding, moving from knowing about something to actually knowing something. Then Paul takes it even further. which Paul will do. Paul takes it from more and more of this love to knowing about this love, to knowing this love. And then he says, beyond that, I want you to aesthesis. There's the next word, aesthesis. So I want you to paresos, epigenosis, and aesthesis. Lots of S's in there. Yes. All these things happening. Now, aesthesis is attached to this word insight and perception. It's the only time that it shows up in all of the scriptures. It's the only time this word is used. Insight and perception. Now, what does this word insight and perception mean? Very basically, if you think about insight, it's to see into something, to see something inside, to see another depth, another level, to awaken to something that's deeper. The Greeks define it this way. They say aesthesis is becoming keenly aware of the consequences of an action. There's an awareness that's there with aesthesis. You're waking up to something. You're kind of weighing it all out and considering things at a deeper level. Now, if we bring this down to a street level, down to Pittsburgh, here's how we might say it. It's what you do when the heat gets cranked up a notch. It's how you respond when things get heightened. When something comes at you, it's how you respond in that moment. That's your aesthesis. That's an insight to inside of you. What's going on in here? I want you to gain more insight of what's happening inside of you. Is this love, is it growing, expanding, evolving, or is it regressing? Is it getting smaller? So, aesthesis, if we bring it down to a street level, it may be like this. What happens when you come across someone who is really difficult to love? There's a few of those people in your life, I'm assuming. What happens inside of you when you get around those people who are really difficult to love? What gets stoked up in you? What's going on inside of you? Is there indifference? Is there like, you know what, I don't even want to deal with this person. They're useless to me. Is there, I can't get anything from this person anyways, so why be around them? What's going on inside? Or is it this God kind of love, this opening, this I'm seeing this person through the lens of God's love. That's how I see you, is through that lens first and foremost. And then how I respond to you is out of that lens. Doesn't mean we have to be best friends. Doesn't mean we have to be super close. But I'm talking about agape kind of love, how I see you, how I react when the heat gets stoked up, how I process Jesus' teachings when he says, love your enemies. Okay, that's when it gets real. Bless those who persecute you. Move towards people. Bless them. How do we respond when the heat gets cranked up? God, give us more insight into the things going on inside of us. One of the best ways to identify the things going on inside of us is when the heat gets cranked up. We know certain things that go on inside of you. I pray that you would grasp that. That is my prayer, that God would give you more insight into that stuff going on inside of you. Now, all of us in this room have been wounded. Every last one of us. All of us. I mean, we're all walking around with wounds. I got mine. You've got yours. We've had physical things done to us, psychological things done to us and said to us, emotional things. And I'm not going to say, well, what happened to you isn't bad, because in comparison to someone else, what they went through is way worse than what you went through. What you went through was hard for you, and it was painful, and it hurt you, and it created a wound. And what I see happening so often is that what we do when we're children in particular is that we have to create these things called coping mechanisms when we get hurt, right? You have to. How else is a child supposed to process certain things? They don't have the ability to do so. So children develop coping mechanisms, and then we grow up, and we still have these coping mechanisms operating in our lives, because what coping mechanisms do, they protect us, right? So we build walls around ourselves. I know when someone hits a wound inside of me, how I react when the heat gets cranked up isn't always in a loving way. Because you hit my wound. When you hit my wound, I'm going to come out kicking and screaming and scratching. Amen.
I hit it. And you know what? At 47, it still gets hit every once in a while. And there's stuff inside of me that I'm going, I thought I dealt with that. Nope. There's still work to be done inside. Father, give me insight. When the heat gets cranked up, what's going on? What's this wound? Why hasn't this been dealt with? What am I doing? Give me the courage to face this. So we have an opportunity when the heat gets stoked up and when things get revealed in us, we have this incredible opportunity then to face the stuff going on inside of us. And I think that's what I'm inviting all of us to do, is to face those wounds inside of us and go, okay, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to go about processing this thing that happened to me when I was 17 years old? I remember being in therapy, and my therapist hit something deep down inside of me that happened to me when I was 17. It was a trauma. It was deep. It was significant. And I started weeping uncontrollably. And we dealt with it. And we processed it. And it took a lot of time to deal with that hurt that happened 20 years ago. More than 20 years ago. But I hadn't dealt with it until I was given insight by a professional, someone I believe that God brought into my life to help me see the things that I didn't want to see. I pray that God would give you insight so that you can see into the stuff going on inside of you. And that when you open yourself up, I can guarantee you this, God's not going to turn you away. He's not going to shove your face in it. He's going to provide healing. But we're the ones that have to take the step towards it. And it's hard. It's really hard. But when you do that, I believe you're always met with grace. You're always met with that healing power. Not just more information, but you're met by a God who cares about you and loves you deeply. My encouragement to you would be that you would find someone that can help you deal with those things as they come to your surface. People that know how to help you deal and process with the hurt and pain in your life. It's very, very real. I share this with you because I'm just like you. I'm no different than you. I joke with you many times because you call me pastor and then I call you pastor back. Hey, it's nice to see you, pastor. Nice to see you, layperson. I'm just one of you. That's it. I don't see myself as better than you. I'm just one of you, a fellow wounded human who's dealing with his own crap and trying to process it and move forward so that I can grow and evolve and become this person that God's created me to be. So let's take a moment and let's just spend a moment moving through this prayer as the team comes back up to lead us. Let's sit with this for a moment. Father, this is our prayer that your love may overflow in our lives, that you would expand and that you would grow and that you would help us to move from knowing about to actually knowing deep inside our bones. And that, God, your spirit would shine a light and give us insight into the woundedness inside of us. And that you, Holy Spirit, would bring people into our lives that could help us process that. And that you would bring healing to the deepest parts of our soul. And that you and I would open ourselves up this morning to receive his love and his healing power. So now, God, we open ourselves up to you. And we just say, thank you. Thank you. We receive it. All that you have for us, God, a good God, we receive it this morning. We receive it. Thank you, Jesus, about what God's doing in our lives. And I want to see more of it. I want some parousos.
some epigenosis and some esthesis to happen in us. So may all of that increase in us this morning. And I pray and hope and desire that grace and peace would be with all of you. Thank you.